Okay, what we're going to do first is we're going to take the example that we looked at in the introduction, and what we're going to do is actually what we refer to as intra-year compounding. In other words, what we're going to do is see what would happen to the future value of the $100 that we talked about if there was more than one interest payment during the year. Now, let me just remind you what we started with here was an investment or present value of $100. The interest rate was 10%. The number of periods was 3. And we figured at the end of that the future value of that at the end of year 3 was $133.10. What we're going to do now, I'm going to draw a little line here, is we're going to change the situation and say, what if instead of annual compounding, which is what we computed, there was quarterly compounding? Now, just to remind you the difference between the two, if it's annual compounding, that means the 10% interest is paid once, and that's at the end of the year. If there's quarterly compounding, that means interest will be paid every 3 months. And here's what the situation would look like. The initial amount is still $100. The interest rate, however, is not 10%. Rather, that 10% is divided up into four payments or four periods. So the interest is 2.5% per compounding or per interest payment. The number of periods is not 3 years any longer, but we should adjust that for the fact that there are 12 interest payments per year. I'm sorry, 4 interest payments per year, which means 12 interest payments total over the 3 year period. So if I draw a cash flow timeline down here, let's see how well I can do this. Just put a couple of tick marks in here. And this would be 0, 1, 2, and 3. Then out here I'll just put a couple more tick marks at the end. This should be 11 and 12 because that's what I'm recognizing with the tick marks are the interest payment periods. In other words, there's 12 payments of interest. And 2.5 is the interest. And what we'll have here is $100. At the end of period 1, which is 3 months after the initial investment, the initial investment should grow to $102.50 because it's going to earn 2.5% interest, and 2.5% of $100 is $250. Now, if I continue this, which I'm not going to do right here, we should find that this turns out to be at the end of the 3 year period that the amount grows to $134.49. Now, I could go through and actually increase each amount or compute each interest payment that is made and just keep adding it and adding it and adding it for 12 periods and get $134.49. But there's two other ways to do this. First is we recognize that we have an equation that we can use, the future value equation, which looks like this. It's the present value times 1 plus the interest rate and to the nth power. Now, we should always use the interest rate as the interest rate per period. So here's what we have. $100 times 1.025, and the end should always be the number of interest payments, which in this case is 12. If you do the math on this, what you would do is plug in 1.025 to your calculator, hit your Y, the X key, and then hit 12. And you should find that the result is 1.34489. It actually goes 888 and so forth. But if we round off, you can see what the result is. If you multiply that times 100, you get $134.49, rounded off to the nearest penny. Now, of course, the other way you can do the computation is like so. You can put in for N in your calculator in the time value money keys, N equals 12. And if you're using a Texas Instruments, the I/Y would be equal to 2.5. The present value, put in probably a negative 100. Now, the reason for the negative is because if you make this investment, it's a cash outflow. You have to pay for the investment. The payment, which is an annuity, is 0 because we're not using this. And then if you do the solution, I'll put it down below, you compute the future value, you would find it comes out to be 100. Let me erase this real quick. $134.49. Same answer. Now, the key here is a couple of things. Well, one big thing. Take a look at, and let me circle these in a different color, a pen. Take a look at with the annual compounding, the interest was $133.10. With the quarterly compounding, the interest is $134.49. And you can see there is a larger amount. It's larger by, what, $1.39. And the reason, the sole reason for that is because extra interest is earned. And then what that this tells us is that the more often interest is paid, the higher the interest, the more often, let me make a correction here and say, the more often the interest paid within a year. In other words, more compounding periods there are, then the higher the interest that you earn. What I'll do is I'll go to another page, a clean page here, and show you what that means by computing what we refer to as the effective annual rate of return. Okay, let's take a look at what we're effectively earning on this example that we're talking about. If you remember, the example is that we're earning a 10% rate compounded quarterly. First of all, let's label some of these things. This 10% is what we call the APR. The APR is 10%. This is a, and I'm just going to put the term non-compounded. This is a non-compounded rate of return, which means that it does not show us or consider the compounding effects. We also refer to this, by the way, as the simple rate. Okay, in our example, by the way, when we state interest rates, we typically state them in the simple terms. And then we qualify it with the number of compounding periods. For example, in our example, we would state we're getting paid 10% compounded quarterly. And what this tells me is that the rate that is being used to compute the periodic rate, in other words, the quarterly rate, is the 10%. And that will be divided up into four parts because it will be paid over the year in four different stages every 3 months. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to compute what we refer to as the effective annual rate. The effective annual rate is equal to 1 plus the rate per period, and I'm just going to put capital P-E-R for the periodic rate, to the number of compounding periods in the year minus 1. And M stands for the number of compounding periods. In our example, the rate per period is pretty simple. It's equal to the APR, which stands for annual percentage rate, divided by the number of compounding periods in the year. In other words, it's the rate that will be paid every quarter. So it's the 10% divided by 4, which is 2.5%. Well, if we plug this information in the example that we have up here, then, or the equation, I should say, then this is 1.025 to the fourth power minus 1. And if you work that out, the result that you get is this will be in decimal, so it'll be 0.103813. Now, I'm out of room. Well, I can put it down below here. That basically means that the effective rate is 10.38%. So, effectively, and this proves what we had on the previous slide, is that we're earning more than the 10%. And that means that, as you can see, that the interest that was earned when the compounding was quarterly versus the interest that was earned when the interest was compounded annually was higher. In fact, to show you that, here's one of the things that I could do. Down below here, I'm going to say the future value of $100, and here's what this effective annual rate of return means, is this. Let me write it out here, and then I'll explain. This is, I'll put 1.103813 to the third power, and then if we work this out, we should get the same result. Now, here's what I guess I should explain what I'm setting up here. What I have here in the equation is saying, what if we invest $100 at the rate of 10.3813% per year for 3 years? And if we work that out, we should find the result turns out to be $134.49. Now, there might be a slight rounding error, but if you recognize what this is the same, and I'll put it down here, this is the same as what we found before where we had 1.025, in other words, 2.5% per quarter for 12 quarters. That should also equal $134.49. These are the same. Whoops, let me get rid of my, do a better job circling here. These are both exactly the same. What that tells me is that if I was offered a 10% rate of return compounded quarterly or a 10.3813% rate of return paid on an annual basis, in other words, compounded annually, that I should say they're identical. They're exactly the same. And that is effectively what we're doing when we compute the effective annual rate of return. What we're doing, and I'll circle the REAR here, what we're doing is effectively turning an APR, a non-compounded or simple rate of return, into the actual rate of return that is earned that particular year. So, as you can see in the example that I have down below, if I ask somebody, well, which would you prefer? Would you prefer an investment that pays you 10.3813% per year, and you get paid interest only once per year, and you're going to invest your $100 for 3 years, or would you prefer an investment that pays you 10% per year compounded quarterly? The answer is they're exactly the same because their effective rates of return are exactly the same.